It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With your favorite two black runners, I'm Joshua Potts, all the brothers and mother, Aaron Potts on Trackish, on Mile Split, doing our thing, bruh. 2 weeks off. It's always good to come back on a Mile Split, and really, it's state season now. Everyone's having a state meet, so it's really just crazy right now, just in the high school world, Aaron.
Yeah, it comes by quick, man, quicker than you would think. And going to state, that's a big, big deal out in here in California, man. Just getting that state patch. Especially shout out to all the seniors that are finally getting there. I remember when I was in that position for sure. So it always feels good to end your season at the championship. And if you could do well there, you know, that's better than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this past weekend, we just had Texas. We had Georgia had their state meet. And then coming up soon enough, California is about to have their state meet. North Carolina, Wyoming, Florida just had their state meet last week. Like so many people are in their season in the state and looking on beyond there. But Aaron, it was 10 years ago to when you had your state meet, missing your grand night when we went up to Fresno and everything. You ran in the 1600. What do you just kind of remember? What was probably the most impactful thing for you at that time when you had your first time going to state, running the 16, and like doing it in one of the most competitive states in the nation, bro?
That was just about the journey to get there. Like in California, you know, our California listeners know you got league prelims, league finals, CAF prelims, CAF finals, masters, state prelims, state finals. So just to get there is an accomplishment, and it's so tough. Mm-hmm. I like PR'd every race to get there, but also like that stadium, man, at Buchanan, amazing, bro. Felt like a professional athlete. That's how amazing the stadium felt, the energy that was just in the building. It was still one of the coolest track meets, and it was so hot. That's what I don't forget. It was so hot, like over 100 degrees on the track that day.
Bruh.
Destroyed my allergies.
Hey, but like how you said, feeling like a professional runner, I think a lot of people at that stage, definitely being at that state meet, there's a lot of people that dream in that type of way, like being a professional runner, getting onto that stage, and you get a little bit of like a kind of a taste of that when you get to like your state finals and like you get like this big race feel. And some people go even take that even a step further and get into those professional fields. And a lot of people like that. We saw yesterday Colin Salmon and Lex Young of Newberry Park are not racing their CIF regular state schedule, but forego that and raced at the USAT. Well, before that, they raced at the Sound Running Track Meet. Then they just raced at the USATF Distance Classic. Colin Salmon went out there, ran a personal best in the 800 of 148.80. Lex Young ran a 3:46 for number two in the nation right now in the 1500. That's pretty impressive by Lex Young. That's basically four flat pace for a 1600. Aaron, you were at the meet. What was your kind of just assessment of Lex and Colin's performances?
Yeah, I would say starting off with Colin's performance, like he got second place. You know, the fastest times at that meet was like 1:47. He was in the heat with Cooper Tier and just narrowly lost to him. I don't think he made all of the best moves tactically, but it didn't really look like he was taxed. It looks like there's a lot more in the tank for him in that race. It kind of just went out slow. And then talking to Lex after his race too, it was just like, I mentioned to him, I'm like, man, I remember interviewing Colin last year when he ran 3:46, and he said that his goal that day was to get like 3:46 slow. He wants to run a little bit faster, but I was like, yo, you're right there where Colin was running last year. So like, you're definitely on pace to break four, but I still think Lex is someone that has potential to break 4 minutes this year. It was the meet. It was like cold. It was windy.
Yeah.
We didn't really see many fast times, the USATF Distance Classic, like all around. So I definitely think they both could have ran faster than what they did. I think Colin was just kind of like in a race. He's not as used to running. So he made like some weird moves, like at the third 200. And then he made like two or three moves within the last lap of the eight, which is not typical. So it's kind of funny to watch, but it's exciting to see them because I just know they can go faster. I know their coach puts that standard on them to always be faster. I don't think they look at these times that they're doing and they're so impressed with themselves. So I'm excited to see, you know, where they end up racing. Well, Colin's going to be at Pre, you know, next weekend, and I think he's going to run something fast. And Lex was saying he has a couple more potential races too. So I expect them to continue to run fast and continue to progress. I don't think that they're at their max yet at all.
Yeah, and I feel like, especially with Colin Solomon, like when he runs those 800s, like this man and the 15, I think I'm just so used to him leading races and like taking out to pack that now he's like starting like in dead last. I'm all like, bro, I'm like getting scared. I'm like, dude, is he not going to run good? But then he always, like the last 200, comes up with something and ends up into the front. Another person that's running really well right now in distances for high school has to be Garrett Martin. We got to mention this guy, number 5 all time for high school boys. And me and Aaron were talking about on our other program saying, this is the fastest glasses wearing mile that you're going to ever see, especially from a high schooler. 3:57 at his Philadelphia Catholic League Championship. He's going to be racing at the Hoka Festival of Miles on June 2nd. And I want to get to this conversation real quick because Gary Martin, you know, I feel like he's really captured the emotions of the fans, you know, because going out there, you know, he just looks like a regular guy in a way, and how he's doing this just by himself at the high school meets compared to like the Newberry Park guys that are doing it in pro meets. I know he's gonna race at Festival Miles against pros, but I think it just urges the question. I think it's a good conversation. Would you rather run really fast, elite all-time times in a pro meet as a high schooler, or would you rather just do them at your local high school meet? I think that's an interesting conversation, Aaron. Which would you rather do?
First of all, shout out to Gary, man, my glasses wearing brother, man. Like, yo, do it for the dudes wearing glasses, bro. Like, I love that guy. I love that guy. But honestly, I would rather do it in high school because, like, the pro fields, like, really? I think about it like this.
Okay.
Nobody, when Hobbs Kessler ran 3:34, amazing, right? What place did he come in? What meet was that at?
Oh, that was at Portland Track Festival. I believe he got
exactly
third. Craig Frankengoles won the
exactly.
Meet. Yeah.
All I'm saying is a lot of people, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Unless it depends on how fast you run, but it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But there's something about a 3:57 with glasses on at a league meet, a 8:40 and 4 flat at the California State meet, a 1:46 at the state meet 25 years ago. Everyone, it goes down in legend, in history. Like, remember when this dude came out here with his glasses and ran 3:57 at the league meet? That was crazy. So I think there's something that just, like, adds to that legend. Being running fast in the pro field is always cool, but you're not going to be looked at as a high schooler. People just think of Hobbs Kessler as a pro, you know? And who's had a better season this year, Hobbs Kessler or Colin Solomon? I'm just going to throw that out there, but no shade. That's all.
We could debate that. Really, we could really debate that. We really could debate that going back to just cross country too, because I would include cross country into it, to be honest. But like, first off, I was leaning more to the high school. You feel me? But the other part of me is I'm like, bro, like I always wanted to be a pro. Like, that's just dream come true to be able to be like in those type of fields and like racing against these guys, like just as like a as a senior in high school, like Lex as a junior in high school, racing like some elite competition, these people that are professional, and to know that you can race and compete with them, that's such a big confidence booster. I remember always when if my season didn't go as long as the state, I would always like race against like college guys when I was in high school, and like being able to race against them was always like a confidence booster and kind of just feeling like, oh dang, I can actually run with these dudes. And actually to do it against the pros, that's pretty tight. You may get lost in the shuffle, but it's all like I'm getting lost in the shuffle with some of the best in the world, you feel me? So I don't know. It's a definitely interesting debate. I would love to hear what y'all have to think about it too. But hey, it's that's either way, it doesn't like if you run all the time, you all the time. So it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
Either way, really, you run really fast, but the story and legacy you believe leave behind. You know, Lucas versus Bickus, you're gonna remember that man forever, bro. He don't even
Didn't Allen Webb run his 353 and wasn't that like across the country? No, that was wasn't that in the Bowerman Mile, right?
I might have been in the Bowerman Mile, but like you said, you don't even remember it, bro. You can remember Gary Martin's 357 forever, though.
I'm just saying that I just don't remember it because that was a long time ago. You feel me? No, that's what I'm saying. But also, there are some things that we could miss and that we could not remember. We got to acknowledge it on the track is because we weren't here this past week. And number one, got to be Roderick Pleasant of Sarah High School in California running a 2040 at CIF Finals. That's number two in state history, Aaron, only behind Michael Norman, who ran a 2014. He also ran a 10:16 plus 2.7 tailwind coming at him. This dude is only a junior in high school. He's going to be facing Max Thomas this weekend at the Masters meet as well. For the first time, I think, since Arcadia, Max Thomas has a PR of 20:68 that he just ran at CAF Finals. But this dude, Roderick Pleasant, guy went off this past week, Aaron.
Bro, yeah, that's no joke. 10:16, 2040, and he's only a junior chasing Michael Norman's records. This dude's a football player as well, so I know he has that dog type mentality. And Sarah, they got a tradition, bro. They always, at least when I was high school, they were nice. Yeah, I remember Robert Woods, and they always had a 4x1 that was battling up against ours. So it's gonna be like a little heavyweight fight. I don't know if I saw this. I don't know if this dude raced at Arcadia. But
Max, I saw Thomas, Max Thomas beat Roderick Pleasant in the 1 and 2 at Arcadia from Servite. This guy right here, Max Thomas, ran a 20:68. So they're gonna be meeting up for first time at Masters, then CIF State coming up next week.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a heavyweight fight, man. So just make your way out there. Like we said, the California road to state, it's basically a little pro circuit, bro. And the crowds be hyped, and the sprints is what it's all about. So definitely try. That's going to be a good one. We're going to see how fast they're going to go. We're going to see if they're going to go for that record.
Yeah, and it's really just amazing to see that, especially someone like Roderick Pleasant is a junior. Like, these juniors are really killing it. And we saw another junior kill it at the Florida State meet that we missed from this past week. Micaiah Holland ran 11:26 at the Florida State record, number two in the nation right now. Goes to Mount Verde Academy, doubled back with a 23:13. But, bro, 11:26 for a junior, third fastest junior all time. Micaiah Holland, have a day, bro. That's moving.
Yeah, bro, she put a gap on that field too, not even close. And that is crazy, 11:2 as a junior. Like, that's getting closer. You get to that 10, it's like, dang, like, do you need to go pro? That, like, and where is she going to end up going to college? That's the big question as well. You know, being from Florida, that South area, you know, like they produce Florida, LSU right down there. There's a whole lot of options. So it's going to be interesting next 2 years.
Yeah, and she's going to be able to enter into the NCAA, like right now, how his women's side is on the sprints with the 100 and 200. It would definitely be interesting to see her mix it up with them in a couple years. Then we also missed the Georgia State meet where Will Sumner, the guy who ran that broke the 500-meter indoor record indoors, and also I believe the 600-meter indoor record, went out there, ran a 45.78. 8, tying the number one guy in the nation, Zaire Nurdin, who ran a 46.04 indoors, one of the all-time 400 runners. But let's not get it twisted. Will Sumner is not a 400-meter runner. He's an 800 guy who has a 148.9 outdoor PR and ran 148.01 indoors this past indoor season. Bro, what does this kind of mean? What do you feel like this 45.78 means for Will Sumner's season going forward, as I believe he's going to get into some 800s very soon?
Well, it shows us what type of training that he does and how he approaches the 800 for sure. But, you know, I'm just thinking about like a Jonathan Jones out of Texas right now, guy running 44s and 145. And we know that 400 really does help him to run that 8, because that makes 51, that first lap, seem like nothing. So
easy
to me, it shows me for sure that, you know, like, he's definitely in better shape than 148. He definitely has the speed. Where's his strength at? But, you know, K-Flat going for the record this weekend. When's Will Sumner going for it? You know, and I think Colin Salmon going to have another shot at it too. I'm saying, if they get all three of those in a race, something special going to happen. That's all I'm saying.
And we're going to get to that to the end to really talk about and break down. Could we see that 800-meter national record go down? But before we get there, we also have the Texas State meet, who another person had a really great day, another 800 runner, but he had an amazing triple that we have to acknowledge. Darius Rainey of Summer Creek went out there, won the 400 in a 46.3 in a PR, came back, won the 800 in a 156.3 with the PR, then helped his Summer Creek boys to a 3:10 4x4 and win the Texas State title, team title as well, bro. Darius Rainey is going to USC next year, trying to continue that 800 meter tradition they got at USC from Isaiah Judith and Robert Ford. Bro, Darius Rainey, I don't even know how, if he's still able to walk right now. That's an incredible triple, and like, that this dude deserves all the flowers, bro.
This is the dude that I would put the most stock into if I'm talking 800 runners that next year that are going into school, because the fact that, yes, I know K-Flats ran faster, Will Sumner's ran faster, Colin Salmon's not an 800 meter runner, but he's ran faster too, but I feel like this guy has such a high ceiling to continue to grow, and the fact that he's running the 400 in winning state, the 800 in winning state, and the 4x4, that shows that he definitely has a ton of speed, but he is really strong. He is really strong, probably without running a ton of mileage or whatever. Yeah. And I'm not saying he has to add that to his training, but I think once he gets to USC and gets a coach that's getting him ready for that 8 purely, we're not going to take him away from his 4, because he's nice in the 4. I think he could do something crazy. He's definitely going to be way faster than 149, 150 next year. I'll tell you that.
And the thing you said, like, he's strong, but like, I feel like he is physically strong. Like, he has to be. Go out there, run 46, and then do whatever he's splitting on that anchor leg. But like, this dude is mentally strong. How many people are doing the 4.8 double? Like, people don't do that. Like, they don't set out like, hey, I'm going to do a 4.8 double today and I'm going to win the state meet. Like, that's cool. Like, nah, that's some superhuman trying to be different, trying to be great, like, type of thing, to try and go out there and do a 4.8 double and somewhere so competitive as the Texas State meet. Like, he ran 46 and 150. That's moving, bro. That's definitely different. You know what I mean? That's different. And coming in,
don't be surprised next year if he comes out at 50.
You said what?
If he goes out at a 50-51 next year when he's at USC in races, don't be surprised, bro. That's the type of mentality he got.
Well, I really just want to see. I want to just see him run an eight straight up. You know what I mean? Like, he's always running a 400 before it. Like, go, like, if he can go to Brooks PR, Nike Outdoor Nationals or somewhere like that, and just run an 800 straight up against a Will Sumner or a K-Flat or a Reinhardt Harrison or something. I think that would be super, super interesting to see him get. I want to see him dip under 150. Like, let's do it. I'm pretty sure he has the same thing in mind.
Yeah, bro. You know, and he's definitely capable. Definitely capable.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. But that's all possible at the end of the day. And that's why we got to go into our what are the possibilities, where we really talk about what can possibly happen in the next coming weeks, bro. I always like how we end the show in this segment right here. And one of the most exciting high school runners returned to the track this past weekend. She's going to be racing at the North Carolina State Meet very, very soon. Shanti Jackson, the daughter of Batman, you know, Rashawn Jackson, opened up her outdoor season with a 53.44, 11.61, and 24.8. She has PRs of 52.54, 11.28, and 23.15. But with this opening, there was this litany of that triple, Aaron. Like, what do you think Shanti can possibly do at this North Carolina State meet, bro?
That's a crazy triple. We were just talking about Darius Rainey, and for her to be doing all three of those events and running how fast she is, insane. I know that she was coming off of like a stress fracture indoors too, but I believe she's healthy now and she's fresh. So I expect to see that 52 back at it again. I expect to see, you know, under 11.5. And man, I hope to see a 22. I think we could see a 22 out of her. Which would be
I don't know about the state meet, but especially I think we can see she may be able to get under that 53 mark, maybe at the state meet, and just see if she does decide to do all this and really triple. But it's going to be really exciting. I'm just happy that she's back. She's healthy. I believe she committed to Brooks PR coming up later this year as well. So it's going to be exciting to see that she's healthy. And hopefully we can see her at Shanti at USA's, right? Because she definitely deserves it.
What is her event, though? Is there event the one?
I don't know. The two? I really don't know. Like, I believe indoors she ran like number two all time in the 300 meters behind Sydney McLaughlin, and then she has an indoor national record in the 60, and like 52.54 PR is like no joke, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
so like I don't know what her event is, honestly.
That's how you know she's being trained well for a young athlete like Darius Rainey. It's like, what is his event? Even like almost Will Sumner too, it's like, what is their event? Because it's not so specialized yet. That shows me that there's like a lot of room for her still to like grow and improve, because they haven't even dialed in like, oh, you're just going to run the 100. It's like, nah, she could run the four. She ran a 52. Sweet. She's just different.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. And another insane thing what we got coming up is the Oregon State meet, where it's going to be super, super competitive in that 100 and 200. Mia Bray Peterson has been dominant over the past 2 years. She has only lost two races this season, Aaron, and that came at the Arcadia State meet, at the Arcadia Invitational against Autumn Wilson, who is number one in 100 right now. But Mia Bray Peterson has some great competition with Lily Jones, also from Oregon, who has been on her tails all along and could possibly upset her. It's going to be super, super interesting. And just, Aaron, what do you feel like? What are the possibilities that we see Mia Bray Peterson get upset by Lily Jones in this 100 at the state meet?
Shoot, I mean, they're the second and third fastest in Oregon State history. So this is another heavyweight fight. You know what I mean? And yeah, maybe you said Mia's been the one, you know, kind of beating her every single meet. She has her number. So this could be the time. This could be the time where Lily, I'm sure she don't like losing. She don't like losing. Like, yeah, you pushing me to run fast, but you keep on beating me. But I'm going to get you when it matters at state. So I think the possibilities are high. I always love an underdog. And I feel like losing like that gives you hunger, man. It gives you hunger. So I think the possibilities is very high that she finally gets that win.
And, you know, Lily, she's trying to go out strong. She a senior. She goes to Roosevelt out in Oregon. I was reading an article just out of the fact that, like, a lot of people leave Roosevelt and they go to different schools. They go to different schools and seek out different places, get recruited at different places, because Roosevelt doesn't have the best program. But Lily has stuck it out through her years and really trying to finish this strong. So I'm really going to be looked in and tied in deep into this 100, 200 meter matchup between Mia and Lily. It's going to be super, super exciting. And what's going to be exciting has to be coming up this weekend as well, and the weekend following that in the California State Meet. We're going to have Frias versus Engelhart 2 in the 1600. And then next week after that, if everything goes well, we'll have Frias versus Engelhart 3 in the 1600. The last time they faced off, they ran the number 4 and number 5 times ever, all time, for high school girls. Aaron, like, this Saturday at the Masters Meet is going to be crazy. But Aaron, what are the possibilities that Sadie Engelhart is going to get this win over Dahlia Frias, bro? Can that actually happen? What are the possibilities?
That's a tough one. Like, for sure it can happen. But Dahlia Frias is a senior. Like, that matters. This is her last road. So she has that pushing her. But I've been saying this from the get-go. Sadie Engelhart is different, bro. And I don't think she's going to get her this weekend. But she's going to get her. She's going to get her this year. She's not going to lose to her. She lost to her at state. She's lost to her, like, every matchup. She's lost to her. But she is going to get her, bro, at some point this season. And at some point, too, we're going to have to add to the possibilities. It's like, is the record going down for that, for the girls' mile or 1600, the national record? Because right now, they're, like, in the top 5, both of them. It's like, is that record going to go down? That's what I'm really, really wondering. But I think Sadie is going to get here by the end of the year, but not this weekend.
I think it's more likely that Sadie gets her this weekend, and then at state, Dahlia really shows up. Because, you know, it's Masters. They just got to hit a certain mark, and everyone just moves on. Like, they're just trying to weed out anybody that doesn't really make it from the Southern section. So I see it more likely happening this weekend that Sadie will get her and not at the state meet. Because, like, if people don't realize, Dahlia, she's not running the 32. Sadie's running the 16 and the 8, and I believe Ventura made it in the four. I don't know if they made it. She was doing the 4x4 for the past 2 weeks as well for Ventura as well. So I can definitely see at the Masters meet Sadie, like, getting the win over Dahlia, because Dahlia's like, I'm kind of going to chill. And then the Dahlia beats her back at the state meet. But either way, it's going to be fast. It's going to be interesting. And we cannot forget about Sam McDonald of Newbury Park, who may just ruin this whole Engelhart versus Frias 2 and 3. So that's going to be super interesting. Really, really excited for what's going to go down at the California State Meet coming up in 2 weeks. But then also, bro, let's get to the main meet, bro. Why we came to this right here, because the 800 meter high school national record for the past, like, 2 years on the girls' side has been challenged over and over and over again. And then we're going to see possibly another one with Juliet Whitaker versus Sophia Gorion today at the Trials of Miles, who are going to be racing in an 800 meter. Whitaker has already opened up her season in a 201.55. Gorion hasn't opened up her season yet in the outdoor races, but has a PR of 2:58 that she ran this past year in the indoor season. And also, we're going to have Kate Flatt, who's going to be challenging the 800 meter high school national record at the Trials of Miles tonight, who has a PR of 1:47.0, who's looking for that, getting that PR of 1:46.45 to break Michael Granville's national record. And Aaron, I just want to ask you, what are the possibilities, which is more possible, seeing the record of the high school girls' national record go down or the boys' national record going down this season?
All respect and love to my boy K Flat, came onto the show. Appreciate you, dog, man. You know, this dude, favorite athlete.
Hey, don't keep it like that. If y'all don't know, Aaron was, hey, you were low-key talking spicy on my man's name earlier this week, bro.
I was not talking spicy on my man's name. I didn't believe in him. I was just because I'm big up in Colin Salmon does not mean I'm putting down K Flat.
Right, you're asleep. But you're asleep. Don't play like that.
I'm not. No one ever, I never was sleeping. Kate, I was never sleeping on you. I just said, I think you're capable of breaking the record too, but I think Colin's capable as well. You know what I'm saying? I think there's people who are capable, but all goes to say, it's more likely the women's record is going down. The women's record is going to go down. Like, they've already, I think Rosting Willis has already ran 1:59 before. Like, didn't she run that last year? I'm pretty sure. And well, I'm blanking. Sophia's ran two flat. She's right there. And Rosling Willis, like, opening, she ran a 53, open up 43 and a 4:43. I mean, those are both impressive times,
bro. That 4:43 is very, very fast.
Because she's more of a sprint type, you know? A miler that could run a 53, you don't know many of those. So she has her speed intact, her strength intact. Like, I think that she's going to break the national record, which is, it's like 159 low, I believe.
Yeah, but Mary
King. I think it's more likely.
But yeah, Roisin has ran 2:06 this past indoor season, and she ran 2:68 in outdoor season last year. So, I think it's definitely more likely for the girls' record to go down. I know Cade Flatt is attempting that today. Not to say that Cade, please prove us wrong. I would love for you to do that. And there's a lot of guys chasing after that too. Reinhardt Harrison, who we haven't been talking about too much in the Florida State meet, he ran 1:48 low this past week. And then Will Sumner, we'll see what he comes out and really does. Like, these guys are definitely capable of getting, they're probably have their eyes set on that 1:46.45 as well. But I just feel like that 1:46.4, that area is just, is different. These girls have been to they've been to that 201, 2:00 area multiple times already. So for them to get back there is going to be way easier for them compared to the guys who are just going to be trying to pop out one this season.
Hey, man. And for the dudes, for K, he loved this. He wanted us to doubt him, bro. He wanted us to doubt him. Yeah, that's just more motivation. You seen on this, following on his IG story, he's been going off, bro. So I know he loved to hear all the chatter about Colin Solomon, about Reinhardt Harrison, about Darius Rainey. He love it. He love it. So, hey, man, if he breaks the record today, bro, I'll never doubt you again. I'll never doubt you again. I'll put that right here, man. Hey, never again.
If he does, bro,
I didn't even doubt you. I didn't even doubt him. I didn't even doubt him, bro, but I didn't. I was just big up in someone else. So it doesn't mean I'm hating. But
You were low-key hating. Hey, but we love having the conversations. We love having fun and really just talking about and breaking down everything. Because this is the conversations we always have at home. Really just talking about everything there is about track and really just playing up as much as we can, bro. So good luck to everybody out there in your state meets. No matter what, y'all had a phenomenal season. Don't doubt yourself. And if you didn't have the greatest season, come back. Get them next year, bro. Don't let this be the end of your story. Let's get it, bro. We'll see y'all next time on Trackish. Hey, deuces.